tasked with preaching each Sunday, I would, even though I can't sing very well or play an instrument, I would try to do one or the other and be a part of what's happening up here. And so I just encourage you, if God is stirring in your heart at all, maybe you should be a part of this praise band or this choir. You need to see Mark, or you just need to show up and let somebody know, because, man, they are just doing a fantastic job. And so, man, such a blessing today. As you turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, we're going to pick up where Jonah has been cast into the ocean, cast into the sea, and he's been swallowed by this great fish. And we're going to look at this, we're going to unpack it today, and we're going to talk about what to do when we hit rock bottom. What do you do when you hit rock bottom? Starting in verse 17, the word of the Lord says, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice when you threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. The current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me, and I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The water engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. Then you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. And as my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Father, we're asking you today to speak to us as we study your holy word. Thank you, God, that you love us right where we're at. And God, when we find ourselves at rock bottom, we're still not separated from you. And that, God, we can call out to you, we can remember you, we can return to you, we can seek your face, God, and be restored to what you have called us to yourself. So, God, today, as we come in here with so much weighing us down with the burdens of this life, Lord, may today you encourage us and remind us that, God, you alone are God. You are mighty. You have a plan, and you've called us to trust in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a kid, my granddad got me into something. He lived on a farm in Benton, Tennessee. If you got on 411 out here and you just ride 411 all the way to Tennessee and you just kept going down 411, eventually you're going to go through a place called Benton, Tennessee. That's in Polk County, Tennessee. And you're going to see on your left as you enter that place a thing called Burgess Feed and Supply. My granddad was a self-made man, entrepreneur who did many things. And one of the things he did was he built that Burgess, that's his last name, Burgess Feed and Supply. And you would pass right by that, and then as you passed that, you would see a big farm, and that was his farm. And when I was a kid, I would go to my grandparents' house and spend a week with them. And they had ponds, and that's where I learned how to fish. And I'd just go all day out on the farm doing things. And then I'd come eat lunch, go back out, and then at dinner time, I'd come back, and my grandmother would have a dinner made for her husband, my granddad, who'd been working on the farm all day. We would eat together. Then he would go get in his recliner in the living room. I'd get on the couch. He had turned the TV on, and he introduced me to something he called wrestling. Does anybody, have you ever encountered wrestling around here? I mean, we watch professional wrestling. Somehow he found it every night. And as a young boy, boy, I loved it. And I still kind of love that wrestling now. And I like to watch a little bit of that. And one time, you probably know Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, right? He's a movie star, but before that, that's where he made his way, was in wrestling. And The Rock was making his way through wrestling, and he could never defeat kind of his foe, who was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then in WrestleMania 19, The Rock and Stone Cold, they met up for the heavyweight belt. And there they were, and The Rock had a special move. And he had to use this move three times on Stone Cold to pin him, and it was called the Rock Bottom. And he would take, it kind of looked like this. He'd get beside him, and he'd put his hand over him like this. He'd pick him up and just slam him down to the floor. And then Stone Cold would get back up. And it took three times, and finally, for the first time ever, The Rock was able to beat Stone Cold. He would take him and just throw him down, and that move was called the Rock Bottom. And I know if you're like me, you find yourself sometimes, it just feels like you've been thrown down on the mat. That life has picked you up and has thrown you down, and it's like rock bottom. Jonah, in this passage of Scripture, has hit rock bottom. He's done it to himself. And often in our lives, we do it to ourselves. We've seen how Jonah is running from God. He's been running from God. The sailors were praying to God, saying, God, help us. And he said, we're just going to have to throw Jonah off this ship, because Jonah refused to turn to God and turn back to him and say, God, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to go to Nineveh. And so Jonah, as we read a moment ago, what happened? Jonah was cast into the sea. And it says, as he was cast in the sea, the waves began to break over his head. He began to sink down into the watery depths. He said, the water came over him. The waves were crashing over him. He was in despair. In his mind, he was dead. He was on his way to Sheol, the place of the dead. He was going down to the grave. He was sinking down. He said, as he was hitting the bottom of the ocean floor, seaweed was wrapping around his neck. He was in this place of despair. He had hit rock bottom. There was no way out of this. But the Bible says that God had appointed this great fish, and in that very moment of rock bottom, Jonah was swallowed by this great fish, and now he's in the belly of this sea monster. And there he is at rock bottom. But what I want us to think about today is this truth. What must we do when we're at rock bottom? What do you do when you hit rock bottom? And I believe Jonah, in his moment of despair as a prophet of God, he finally came to his senses, and he did what every single one of us must do in our life when we find ourselves running from God, when we find ourselves at rock bottom. And here's what it says he did. It says he prayed to God. And I want you to go ahead and look all the way back there in this passage of Scripture, back to verse 7. Because really, this chapter, Jonah is giving us a picture of everything that was happening in his life at this moment. He's describing to us in summary form what was happening when he was going into the water and when he was swallowed by the great fish. And I believe when we get to verse 7, we really see the turning point for Jonah. And here's what it says. It says in verse 7, as my life was fading away, as I had hit rock bottom, somebody before the service said that they had seen this postcard before that it says, this person said, I found out rock bottom has a basement. I mean, that's where Jonah is. He hit rock bottom, and when you didn't think you could go any lower, it went even lower. He's in the belly of this sea monster. But it says, in this moment, it says what? I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord. Up to this point, Jonah did everything possible to forget the Lord, to hide from the Lord, to run from the Lord. Do you remember in chapter 1 what everyone on the boat did? Every single person on the boat, and these were heathen sailors, Gentile sailors, every one of them on the boat, in the middle of that storm, they got on their knees and they began praying out to God and say, God, help us. God, save us. God, intervene. God, give us your answer. God, show us yourself. Every single one of them except one man. And who was that man? Jonah. The one who knew better than anyone what he should have been doing, which was getting on his knees and seeking the face of Almighty God. He refused to do it. He was down in the belly of the boat. And down in the belly of the boat, he was trying to hide from God. They said, Jonah, get up and pray to your God. He said, I won't do it. And he refused to seek God's face. He refused to remember the Lord. So they said, all right, we're going to have to throw you overboard. And so they threw him overboard. And then when he hit rock bottom, what happened? Well, it took hitting rock bottom for Jonah to say, okay, I'm going to remember the Lord. How did he remember the Lord? Well, he remembered who God is. He remembered that God had called him. He remembered that God is the Almighty God. He remembered that God is the Savior. He remembered that God is the Creator. He remembered that God's the one in control. Listen, don't think for a moment that Jonah didn't know what was going on. When he was in the water and the fish swallowed him and he finds himself in the belly of this fish alive, he knew immediately what was going on. He said, God's not going to let me die. God has sent this fish and swallowed me up. God has a plan for my life, even though I'm here at rock bottom. And so he turned his eyes and he turned his face to the Lord. He remembered the Lord. Jonah refused to remember the Lord until this moment. I want to ask us, why are we the same as Jonah? I know I'm not the only one in here. Why is remembering God, looking to Him, why is praying often our last move? I don't know if it's just this pride we have, but for some reason, we always want to dig ourselves out of trouble. We want to make things right. We want to have the answer. We desire to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and make things okay. You and I, we desire to be the ones in control. But the sooner we can understand that we're not in control, God is in control, we can get on with it like Jonah is, and we can remember the Lord. Why is it that we so often pray as our last move? Prayer needs to be the first place we go. I believe we could help ourselves stay out of a lot of the trouble, a lot of the places we find ourselves in, if we would simply remember the Lord before we get to rock bottom. At any moment during this life Jonah was living, he could have turned back to the Lord. At any moment, he could have remembered the Lord and say, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. But he refused, and he refused, and he refused. And it wasn't until he hit the bottom that he said, okay, now I will remember the Lord. Listen, there's consequences when we run from God. There's consequences when we bury our head in the sand and say, God, I don't want to hear from you. There's consequences when we refuse to walk with God. There's consequences when we refuse to be obedient to God. There are consequences when we neglect the Lord Almighty. And we find ourselves going down, 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 down. God wants us to go up, up, up. And as we go down, 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 there comes a point in time where you've got to remember the Lord and turn back to Him. If not, you will find yourself where Jonah was. You will find yourself in rock bottom. If you're at rock bottom today, let me just tell you. That's because God's allowed you to get to rock bottom. God's not done, finished with you. God's getting your attention. God was getting Jonah's attention. God had a plan for Jonah's life. God wasn't going to allow Jonah to get away. Now listen, the enemy will lie to you and say that God doesn't care about you. The enemy will lie to you and say that nothing can change at this moment in your life. The enemy will lie to you and he will say it's too late. God is finished with you. But that's not true. It's not true. Because as long as you have life and breath, God has a plan for you. And God is at work allowing you to hit rock bottom to get your attention. He's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention so that you, like Jonah, will come to the place where you say, I remember you, Lord. I remember you. And I'm calling out to you. And I'm lifting my eyes to you, God. And I'm lifting my eyes to heaven. I'm looking to you, Jesus. I remember you, Lord. And so, friend, if you and I find ourselves at rock bottom, what is it that we need to do? Well, the first thing you and I need to do is we need to remember the Lord. But look at what else it says here in verse 7. It says, he says, I was, as my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love, but as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Not only must we remember, but we need to repent. Repent. That's an important word, that word repent. Somewhere along the way, we have neglected hearing, understanding, and believing that God calls us to repent. You know, repentance, the only way you and I can have a relationship with Jesus and have salvation is if we repent of our sin. Did you know that? Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And if you have sin in your life, which you do, in order to be saved, you got to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I turn from my sin and I trust fully in you. And if you'll come to Christ by faith, he will save you. But here's the thing. I think for some of us, we forget that living the Christian life is living a life of repentance. Because when you got saved, you did not stop sinning. I've not stopped sinning. We all continue to sin. We don't like sinning. We don't want to sin. That's not the desire of our heart. But what should we do when we sin? Well, the Bible makes it clear. We must repent. What is repenting? It's turning from that sin and turning to God's direction. You go, stop going down the path of sin and you go down the path of righteousness. You go Jesus's way. You go on his path. He said there's a wide road and a narrow road. There's a wide gate. And there's a narrow gate. Sin is the wide way, and Jesus is the narrow way. And so what we got to understand is when sin is in our life and when we hit rock bottom, we must remember the Lord, but we got to take another step after we remember the Lord. We got to say, God, I will sacrifice to you. I will repent. Lord, this thing that is bringing me down, I'm bringing it to the foot of the cross. I'm getting rid of it. I'm laying it down. I'm sacrificing this thing. I want nothing to do with it anymore. God, help me overcome it, God. I repent and I turn to you. That's what Jonah does here. He says, Lord, I remember you, and Lord, I repent of this sin of disobedience against you. He says, I will fulfill what I have vowed. Listen, when God called Jonah to salvation and when God called Jonah to be a prophet, Jonah had to surrender his life in obedience to God Almighty. Look at me for a second. I'm talking some real Christianity today. I'm not talking the fluff stuff this morning. Are you hearing me? When God called you to salvation, and when God called you to the life he's called you to in obedience to him, he called you to complete surrender. I mean, you say, God, I am totally surrendered to you and your way for my life. It's not about what you like. It's about what God has called you to. And the life he's called you to live. And Jonah says, God, I've been running from this, and now I repent, and I'm going to turn back, and I'm going to do what you've called me to. And what did God call Jonah to do? Here's what he called him to. Go to Nineveh, the wicked, evil city, and preach the word I tell you to preach. Simple as that. He said, God, I remember. Lord, I repent. Listen, Jonah reminds us, as he's reminded of this in the belly of the fish, he says in verse 9, he says, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Understand that today. Jonah didn't save himself. Jonah didn't make himself a prophet. God made Jonah a prophet and called him a prophet. Jonah didn't save himself. Jonah didn't bring himself up out of the ocean. God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah and to save his life. I didn't save myself. God saved me. You didn't save yourself. God saved you. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Jesus saved you. You can't save yourself. Do you hear me? You can't do it. There's something God wants to do in your life today. And you came in here broken. You came in here confused. You came in here either at rock bottom or on the way, and you're trying to figure out how you are going to make it out of this thing. How are you going to be pulled back up? And here's what I'm to tell you. You can't do it. You can't save your family. You can't save your marriage. You can't save your kids. You can't save your life. You can't save anything. It's about what only God can do, but you must remember the Lord, submit yourself to Him, repent to Him, and do things His way. Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah has an issue here. Jonah's issue is what? He doesn't like the Ninevites. He hates them. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh and preach to them because he's afraid that the Ninevites are going to be saved. Let me just park here for a second. I'm going to move quickly because we got a lot more to cover, okay? But this is important. One of the keys in Jonah is understanding the reason he doesn't want to go to Nineveh is because he hates the Gentile wicked nation of Nineveh. We'll find out later in the book of Jonah that he also knows that God's a God of salvation. And he's afraid that if he goes to Nineveh, he's not afraid that his life is going to be taken. He's afraid that those wicked people are going to get saved. Now, there's some of you in here that you could have some different people in your mind that you just dislike a lot for whatever reason. All across this world, because you look at that group of people and you think, man, that people's evil. That people's detestable in the sight of the Lord. I mean, they're vile. They're morally filthy. And you're just like, I want nothing to do with them. I don't ever want to see them step foot anywhere near me. Lo and behold, I really wouldn't want them to come through the doors of the church. Man, those people, I want nothing to do with. That's how Jonah is with the Ninevites. But God says, that's who I want you to go preach to, and that's who God is going to save. And he says, I don't want them to be saved. But what's Jonah remember in the belly of the fish? It's not about Jonah. He says, salvation belongs to the Lord. And here's what I want us to hear, church family. We must be a church that reaches all people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. the most filthy, sinful, stubborn, against God person you can think of, Jesus loved and died on the cross for their sin, and he has called us to share the good news with them that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, we must be a church that we see the people in our community, we see the people in our world, and we want them to be saved. We want to reach them, our desire is to reach them, and we will do whatever it takes to get the good news to them and help them find Jesus. And so we see that Jonah remembered the Lord, he repented, and then God returned him to dry land. And it says in verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. That's what God did. Where did he get vomited out? It was dry land. I don't know if it was on the shores of Nineveh. I don't know if it was back in Israel, but he got vomited somewhere. He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Maybe it took the fish that long to get there to the shores and then vomit him out, but he was vomited out, and you need to understand this was nasty. And I want to remind you again, there are consequences to our disobedience. I mean, he went through all of this. I mean, it was nasty. He was vomited out. But God had him vomited out on dry land. See, rock bottom was the place God allowed Jonah to get to for Jonah to come to his senses, so that God could begin the work of redemption. Rock bottom is where everything began to change for Jonah. Jonah is like the Old Testament prodigal son. Now you know the story of the prodigal son. Jesus said that this son ran away from his good father, and the father gave the son his inheritance, and he went and he squandered it all away, and that son hit rock bottom. He was in the mire of the pig pen with the pigs. He had nothing to eat. He was trying to eat the filth that the pigs eat, and there he was, and while he was there in the pig pen, far in a distant land, he had squandered it all. He thought his family hated him. He thought God hated him. He had thought he had lost it all. All of a sudden there, the Bible says he came to his senses. And he remembered his father. And he remembered the love of his father and the way his father loved the servants in their home and loved his family. And he said, maybe I can just go back and the father will allow me to just serve in the home. But he came to his senses and he remembered and he repented and he turned and he went back to his father. And as he approached his homeland, there his father was out in the field looking, and they ran and they embraced one another in the field. And the father said, welcome home, my son. That's Jonah here. Jonah is off, squandered his life away as a prophet. There he is in the rock bottom belly of this fish, but he remembered the Lord. He came to his senses, he repented, and God said, come on back. I'm going to send you back to Nineveh. You're going to go preach the message that I've given you. Because why? God is a God of second chances. Friend, I'm telling you today, God is not done with you. He's not done with our church. He's not done with your family. Listen, God is a God of second chances. He's a God of third chances. He's a God of fourth chances. God continues to be long-suffering and patient with you, and as long as you have breath, you can turn your eyes to Jesus, and he will meet you there, and he will do a work in your life. Now, quickly, in closing, I just want to say a couple things. Few accounts of Scripture have been attacked as much as this one. You say, preacher, do you really believe this account of Jonah? Do you really believe this? This account, this story of Jonah? Liberals debate that Jonah was not real, that this account is actually just a metaphor. Here's what we need to understand. Here's what your preacher believes, and here's what you believe, okay? We believe God's word. We believe the truth of Jonah. We do believe this is a real account because it was, and it is. Listen, if you start trying to pick away things at the Bible, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble. You start saying, hey, Jonah was just a metaphor and that really didn't happen, then maybe the creation account was just a metaphor. That's not true. Or that Job was just a metaphor. He wasn't a real, that's not true. And you start going down that road, all of a sudden Noah's flood wasn't global, it was just some little localized thing. That's not true. And on and on and on and on. The issue is this, my friend. We need to understand God is greater than us. God is greater than anything we know. God is supernatural, and he operates in the supernatural. God does things our mind cannot comprehend and that we cannot reconcile, and that's good because he is God and we just aren't God. Friend, if you can reconcile a miracle, then it's probably not a miracle. Do you understand that? And I mean this with all love, but listen, you don't have to try to justify the miracles of Scripture. You don't have to say, well, yeah, they found a guy. I believe Jonah because they found a guy one time was alive and he had been in a well. I don't need that type of evidence for me to believe that this happened right here. Because I don't have to reconcile it that way. This is God's word and his word is truth. Listen to me, friend. God's word is to be trusted and to believe. We don't have to justify. Listen, I'm telling you, you don't have to be shy about the word of God. You don't have to be shy about the miracles of God. Jesus didn't question the historicity of Jonah. Do you know that? Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and you're going to see here that Jesus was at work in all of this. God was at work doing something so big we just can't even comprehend. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 39, this is Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees and the people in Israel. And he says, he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. They said, Jesus has already been doing miracles. And they said, we want more. Prove it. Can you prove to us that you're actually the Son of God? He's already done so much. And finally, Jesus says, here's what I'll tell you. There's not going to be a sign given to you except one, and it's the sign of Jonah, the prophet. Why? He's a real man. He is a real prophet that went into the belly of a great fish that God had appointed to swallow him and to spit him up after 3 days. And so he says in verse 44, as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Don't miss it. Jesus came to this earth for one reason. To go to the cross to die for your sin and my sin. To be buried in a grave. He went down into the pit of the earth. He went under the earth just as Jonah was swallowed in the waters, as he went down to the foundations of the earth, as he found his way down to Sheol, the place of the dead, and he was swallowed by this great sea monster. There he was, buried deep, deep, deep. And in 3 days, God brought Jonah and spit him out onto the dry land. Jesus says, here's your sign. You just wait and watch. The Son of Man will die on a cross. He'll be buried in a grave. And on the third day, he will rise from the dead. He will walk out of the tomb. He will be alive, and he will demonstrate and show once and for all his authority as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. He said, there's your sign. I'm out of time. I had more. But I want to bring it together right here for you, okay? Well, if you go back and look at verse 17 of Jonah 1, it says what God appointed this great fish. In Jonah, you're going to see some other things that God appoints. He appointed the storm in Jonah chapter 1. In Jonah chapter 4, he's going to appoint a plant, and it's going to grow up, and it's going to shade Jonah. Then he's going to appoint a scorching east wind that's going to come, and it's going to scorch Jonah. He's going to appoint a worm, and here's what I'm saying. God appoints things, and you know what those things do? What God tells them to do. That's what happens. Why? Because he is in control. He's in complete control. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed for man to die once. There's another appointment. You know who set that appointment? The Lord has. And what he appoints does what it said, what he tells it to do. And he says, it's appointed for man to die once. And after that comes the judgment. You and I have an appointment set. Did you know? We have an appointment set with Jesus, the judge. One day we're going to stand before him and we're going to give an account for our lives. We believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus and you've repented and you've turned to him, then you don't need to fear that great day of appointment when you stand before him. Because on that day, he's going to welcome you into his arms. He's going to say, welcome home. Enter into the joy of your master. But friend, if you don't know Jesus, if you've not surrendered your life to him in repentance and faith, then that's a great day of fear for you. And I'm telling you, that day's coming. That appointment has been set. And you can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. And you just must come to him in repentance and faith and say, Jesus, save me. Listen to what this says. Verse 41 of Matthew 12 says, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at Jonah's preaching. And I love this. I love this. And it says, and look, something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus, he's the one who's greater. Jesus is greater than Jonah. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than David and Moses and Elijah. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. Jesus is greater than you. Jesus is greater than me. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than his creation. He's greater than all the angels. He's greater than all the demons. Jesus is greater than any conflict. He's greater than any problem. Jesus is greater than any issue you have. Jesus stands alone. Jesus is the great one. And no one comes close to the greatness of God. We believe in Jesus. And by believing in Jesus and his sacrificial death on the cross, that he was buried in the grave, and that he fulfilled the sign of Jonah by being dead and being raised on the third day. If you have placed your faith in him, you will be saved. And friend, if you've never done that, right now is the day of salvation for you. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to stand down front. And if God is leading you to give your life to Jesus, then I'm going to ask you after we pray to come forward and say, Pastor, today I trust in him. Maybe today there's another decision for you to make. You want to be baptized, you want to join our church, or you need to come to the altar and pray. Today is the day to remember the Lord. Repent and return to him. Father, we ask that you move us right now. That you move us by your Spirit. God, thank you for providing and giving salvation. Lord, help us to not be ashamed. Help us to move today in how you're leading us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't wait. Come now. Come now.